now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, a program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. Glad you can join me today. We're going to be on an interesting journey, this particular segment, and probably the next as well. And don't want to scare you folks, but there's a topic out there that needs to be considered. It's just hugely important, and if you're not on the internet, doesn't matter. You still need to hear about these things, because initially, man fought all his battles on land. And as technology increased, well, he added another domain, the sea. Eventually, he developed the technology to engage in battle beneath the sea. Okay, still later, after a quantum leap forward in technological advancements, another physical domain for battle was added, the air. And still later, after further technological gains, man attained the capability of going into outer space, creating satellites, military applications. Now, with each new technology, humans have discovered new ways to do battle against each other. So, another domain has opened up. Many of you know what it is. And this time, it's not the physical domain. This time we are talking about cyberspace. And cyberspace includes a whole lot more than the internet, as we'll be telling you here in the coming moments. Cyber warfare, the militarization of cyberspace, has arrived. There's a new book out talking all about that by the very familiar voice of Dr. Ron Rhodes. The book is Cyber Meltdown, a Bible Prophecy and the Imminent Threat of Cyber Terrorism. Dr. Ron Rhodes, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Well, thank you, Jan. It's always good to be with you.
Dr. Rhodes, how many books do you have now?
I've now written about 55 books, mm-hmm. but this book is one of the ones that really excites me,
yeah.
because I really see the stage being set for the end times and for things that will actually take place during the tribulation period. And Jan, if you see stuff taking place that's preparing the way for the tribulation period,
I know.
Doesn't that mean the rapture is all the nearer?
Yeah, some listeners are listening right now say, oh, it only took them 3 minutes to get to the topic of the rapture. Don't they ever get off that kick? Well, you know what, folks? No, because it might happen this afternoon. So get used to it. Now, I want to move here into the topic. And you've got a quote in here by the book Cyber War, The Next National Security Threat and What to Do About It. I believe that's Richard Clark, formerly anti-terrorism czar under Clinton and George W. Bush. And you write in bullet point forms. And by the way, you say here that you're quoting him, that an electronic... it's possible to have an electronic Pearl Harbor. And then you list some bullet points about what might happen in an electronic Pearl Harbor. I can't read all of them, but let me just cite a few of them. Not to scare you again, folks, that's not our intention, but you do need to be aware of some of the perils of the perilous times the Bible talks about. The Department of Defense, classified networks grind to a halt. This is if we have this supposed electronic Pearl Harbor. Computer networks at the Pentagon collapse. Meltdowns take place at major financial computers. And the computer systems, the Federal Aviation Administration, National Air Traffic Control Center collapse. Computer systems at alternate air traffic control centers go down so they cannot see what aircraft might be aloft. There could be multiple airline mid-air collisions. Subway trains could crash with multiple cities. Traffic lights go out all over the country, resulting in casualties. Freight trains could derail. Food and medical supplies are depleted at local stores due to the disruption of transportation. Communication breaks down on many different levels, including between different sectors of our government. Ron, after recent weeks, if our government had to be shut down with no communication, that would be a blessing, and they could stop spending our money so recklessly. But nonetheless, you outline a scenario here in your opening pages that is, it's pretty gripping, it's pretty out there, it's kind of Orwellian, but not really, because people like you and me and a whole lot of listeners have had to deal on a day-to-day basis with technology now for quite a while, and this is the natural progression. We get more sophisticated, we bring on more sophisticated problems.
Oh, you're exactly right, and let me just mention that the stuff that you just described moments ago is stuff that can all happen within a 15-minute period. So we're not talking about developments that take place over a week or 2 weeks, but within 15 minutes, a single cyber attack mm-hmm. against the United States could bring about those things. How do we know that? Well, it's based upon real-life practice scenarios sponsored by our own government, as well as major corporations and other governments that have actually participated with the United States in these cyber drills. And they have discovered that all of this stuff is not just a possibility, but a potential reality, especially given the number of nations that really want to do damage to the American way of life. And the thing of it is, Jan, the thing that really kind of concerns me about all this is that when you're talking about cyberspace and the Internet, you know, most often people tend to think about email or visiting a website. Today, things in cyberspace can reach out and do damage in the physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they can reach out and cause gas pipelines to explode. They can reach out from cyberspace and make subway trains crash in multiple cities and make all the traffic lights go out. And in fact, they can disrupt nuclear reactors, which is what took place in Iran.
Right.
And so, you know, that's kind of frightening when you think about it, because it's no longer just limited to the electronic sphere of cyberspace. But what takes place in cyberspace can reach out into the real world and actually cause damage and kill people. And so that's why our own government is so concerned about this. That is why our own government is presently spending hundreds of millions of dollars in putting together cyber command centers in order to defend the United States against these kind of attacks.
Ron Rhodes, why is the most advanced nation on the face of the planet lacking in preparedness?
Well, I think, first of all, we've always had a sense of invulnerability in our country. This country is a very wealthy country. It is a country that has really set the standard and set the bar very high in terms of, quote, the good life, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that we have an overconfidence, not only in ourselves, but we have an overconfidence in technology. And the truth is, Jan, is that our country really depends upon technology more than any other country in the world. You know, our country has spent more money on technology. We've built more gizmos. We've built more, Internet services and laid the infrastructure for the Internet in terms of the cables and the wiring and all that sort of thing. I mean, our country has pumped major money into the Internet. The thing is, now everything in the United States runs electronically. Now, the more stuff that runs electronically in your country, the more damage that can be done to your country by a cyber attack. And so other countries out there that may not be so dependent upon electronics and the Internet, they would be much less vulnerable to this kind of a cyber attack. But because the United States is just really from A to Z built upon the foundation of electronic control. I don't care if you're talking about banking or the stock market or turning, you know, traffic lights on and off and all those sorts of things. It's all run by computers. And because of that, we are extremely vulnerable. Let me just say, Jan, that this is not just people interested in prophecy who are talking about this. We're talking about major government leaders. They are the ones who are so concerned. And one of the reasons why they're so concerned is because this kind of thing has actually already taken place. You know, our own government computers have already been hacked. You know, Jan, I don't know if you know this, but in the book I talk about how there's a super fighter jet that the United States is now working on that is going to really defend the United States for the coming decades against attack. Super sophisticated. Well, did you know that multiple terabytes of data, a single terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes, that's a whole lot of information, has been actually hacked and stolen by foreign governments, and I'm talking about China in this case. That information has been downloaded from our government defense computers by talented hackers in China, and the thing is, the more they learn about this new defense jet, the easier it is to find vulnerabilities in it. So this is the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Right.
We are being hacked on a daily basis. And when I use the word hack, maybe that's a word some people don't know what I mean. A hacker is somebody that's very talented on computers and has the ability to steal information online and has the ability to write computer programs designed to do damage to other computers and networks out there in cyberspace. And let me tell you, Jan, there's a lot of them. And some of them are on the payroll of major government.
I know that. And by the way, I think most businesses and ministries are painfully aware of what you're talking about, Ron. And I know this Olive Tree Ministries, we've had our website hacked twice in the last about 8 months or so. The first one was quite catastrophic. The second one was just a few weeks ago, where they happened to target a particular radio program. I'm not going to say which one. And because they targeted this particular radio program, to say that it was inconvenient to everyone would be an understatement. They did sort of leave a calling card indicating that probably was related to Islam, but maybe can't prove that. And the degree of sophistication was simply overwhelming. So, yeah, I know a lot about what you're talking about. I think when you get into the deeper issues in your commentaries here in the book, your average person doesn't fully understand when we talk about all these major systems, from airlines to military to government to subways to trains, all of these being, I've often joked with my audience that radio is run by computers. It's true. I have to follow computer hard breaks. I mean, there's nothing in this life, even though there are many, many people not connected to computers, they just choose not to get one. The world is now a computer-generated planet.
Well, it is. And, you know, I think that back in biblical times when the ancient prophets were writing about the future tribulation and what lies beyond, of course, they had no concept of computers, but the fact is that in our day, as we draw near to the coming of Christ, and prior to that, the tribulation period, we start to see how the stage is actually being set for what the ancients never understood.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to increase in the future. One of the things that we're witnessing right now is it's not just ministries and companies and, you know, large organizations that are being hacked and penetrated by these different groups and hackers, but it's individual people. And this is one of the things that I think will really resonate with our listeners, because there's not a single person who's listening to my voice right now that is beyond the possibility of being hacked and major damage being done to them. You know, here's a possibility. You might receive an email from somebody that, you know, somebody whose name is familiar to you.
Yep.
You know, the hackers get these names from your Facebook account, and they send you an email that says, "Hey, I just found this great article that I know that you'll be very, very interested in, and it'll be signed, Sarah Jones." And then Sarah Jones is a good friend of yours, so you trust it. You click on the link, and it does indeed take you to an article that's pretty interesting, but in the background, there is a secret program, software program, now downloading to your computer, and once it downloads to your computer, it starts to log every single keyboard stroke that you type, including when you sign on to your bank or credit card company. You know, that's a scary scenario, but it's happening every single day. And so that's what I mean when I say that it's not just the companies and the ministries that are vulnerable, but individual people right where we are, in our homes, in our living rooms, we are vulnerable to this kind of thing on a daily basis.
Many, many countries are involved in this. I found it interesting that in North Korea, they spot elementary school children who seem to have a knack for technology, and they watch them and then they train them to be cyber hackers. And China is a huge offender here. I think you referenced, and maybe I made the word up, cyber jihad. I think we need to be careful not to just assume, and as I've just already indicated here, that the number of countries are involved. This is not just an Islamic thing by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no.
It's just, in my own personal case here, we are suspecting cyber jihad as it concerns this ministry, but I mean, this is so global.
Well, it is global, which is one of the reasons why not just the United States, but other major countries of the world, including Israel, for example, including Russia, including multiple Asian nations, they're all setting up cyber command centers, and they're pumping multiple millions of dollars into building them. And just in the United States alone, all of our military services now have cyber command capabilities. Your Army, the Marines, the Navy, the Air Force, all of this is something that is taken very seriously. And, just to give you an example of how there are hackers and talented cyber command centers overseas in different countries, not too long ago, Israel took out some silos in Syria.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as they were moving against Syria with their jets, Syria had no inkling of an idea that Israeli jets had actually penetrated Syrian airspace. Why so? Because the talented hackers in Israel that worked for the government were able to disrupt Syrian radar and make it blind as a bat.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is the same kind of thing that we in the United States are concerned about. What if some country some country that was mad at us, what if they hacked into our radar system like that and made us blind as a bat? Well, you wouldn't see the attack coming. And so for this reason, governments all around the world are now taking cyber warfare extremely seriously. And the idea is this. Most countries now believe that even though conventional warfare will still happen, conventional warfare will always be preceded by a cyber attack.
Okay.
And that cyber attack will take down communications and radar screens. It'll also disrupt satellites. In other words, it'll basically cut off all of our senses. Like you and I have five senses. We can hear, smell, and see, and all that kind of stuff. Basically, a cyber attack will completely take out all the senses of our military. So we don't see anything, we don't smell anything, we don't hear anything. And, for that reason, we've got good reason to, I think, be concerned, because more of our military runs on electronics than any other military in the world.
Dr. Ron Rhodes, you can learn more at ronrhodes.org. That's R-H-O-D-E-S, ronrhodes.org. And we're talking about his brand new book, Cyber Meltdown, Bible Prophecy and the Imminent Threat of Cyber Terrorism. You can find that at my website as well, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to products. You can find it in any Christian bookstore, Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com, and so forth. And Ron, when you were on with me several months ago, we actually talked that particular interview about the Stuxnet cyber worm, and therefore I don't want to dwell on it extensively, but I do want to play a short clip here and get your comment on it, because this Stuxnet cyber worm has gone around the world with its destruction. Millions of computers in China have been infected, and the context you and I spoke about it in was what Israel likely did to computers in Iran to delay them from making a nuclear strike on Israel. But we need a little update on Stuxnet, and then I'll get your comments, Ron.
In June last year, a computer virus called Stuxnet was discovered lurking in the data banks of power plants, traffic control systems, and factories around the world. 20 times more complex than any previous virus code, it had an array of capabilities. Among them, the ability to turn up the pressure inside nuclear reactors or switch off oil pipelines, and Stuxnet could tell the system operators everything was normal. Unlike most viruses, Stuxnet doesn't carry the usual forged security clearance that helps viruses burrow into systems. It actually had a real clearance, stolen from one of the most reputable computer technology companies in the world. It exploited security gaps that system creators are unaware of. These holes are known as zero days, and the most successful viruses exploit them. The details of a zero day can be sold on the black market for $100,000. Stuxnet took advantage of 20 zero days. But once it got into a system, it didn't always activate. Buried deep in the Stuxnet code was a specific target. Without that target, the virus remained dormant. What was it looking to shut down? The centrifuges that spin nuclear material at Iran's enrichment facilities. Stuxnet was a weapon, the first to be made entirely out of code. The Washington-based Institute for Science and International Security says the virus may have shut down 1,000 centrifuges at Natanz, Iran's main enrichment facility, last year. In November, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN's nuclear watchdog, said Iran had suspended work at its nuclear facilities without explaining why. Many observers credited Stuxnet. Last month, the Iranian government conceded the virus's infection of the Bashir nuclear facility, still under construction, meant that switching the plant on could lead to a national electricity blackout. Iran has responded to the attack with an open call for hackers to join the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and has reportedly amassed the second largest online army in the world. So who was behind Stuxnet? There's no evidence beyond rumor. Some have it that Israel is responsible because the virus code apparently contains references to the Hebrew Bible. Others believe the US was involved in the testing and development. The finger has even been pointed at Siemens Mobile Phone Company, whose software is used by the Iranian regime. The most important question may not be who designed it, but who will redesign it. The evolution has been so fast that 9 months after its detection, the first virus that could crash power grids or destroy oil pipelines is available online for anyone to download and tinker with. You can watch people on YouTube pulling Stuxnet apart. It's an open source weapon, and there's no way of knowing who will use it or what they will use it for.
You have any kind of an update on that, Ron Rhodes?
Well, the damage is still floating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting to listen to this little dialogue that you played, because every detail of what this person talked about is actually found in my book. And it is a scary, scary thing, Jan, because this is it's like a cyber-guided missile.
Mm-hmm.
And this cyber-guided missile reached out from the Internet, reached out from cyberspace, and actually caused physical damage, not just to nuclear reactors, but to other machines around the world. And the term Apocalypse Now has been used to describe this Stuxnet virus. And the thing of it is, this was no hacker that did this, no weekend hacker.
Yeah.
In fact, what they're talking about is that some government spent millions of dollars and hired a large team of PhD-level computer scientists to design this, you know, particular virus. And it has been extremely effective in bringing down Iran's nuclear reactors. It is interesting that there is a reference to the Book of Esther. And, you know, when you read the Book of Esther, God did supernaturally rescue the Jewish people from annihilation by Haman. And so there are some who have concluded, well, you know, is Israel involved in this? Is the United States involved in this? Or is a team of Israelis and the United States involved in this? This does point out one thing, Jan, and that is that when a cyber attack is launched, whether it's against Iran or Israel or the United States or anyone else, these attacks can be launched without leaving any fingerprints or footprints. In other words, you don't necessarily know who done it. And that's what makes this whole thing just a little bit scary, yeah. Because in conventional war, you know who's attacking you. But a lot of times in a cyber attack, you're not really aware of the country that is behind the damage.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to reemphasize Stuxnet here, and again, referenced it several times on previous programs, and its capability is just, I mean, if it's true that this possibly set the Iranian nuclear program back as many as 5 years, I don't know that we know that yet, but this is what the technology wonks are capable of doing if they want to be up to mischief. Ron, there's another term that we probably need to talk about, unless you have anything else you want to say what we've been discussing here.
Well, I will close Stuxnet just by pointing out that this constitutes a cyber wake-up call.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and the fact is that Stuxnet did what no other virus has ever done in the history of computers. And the scary thing is that now different countries around the world have a Stuxnet blueprint. In other words, now the concern is people copycatting Stuxnet to launch a lot more of these same kinds of attacks against each other. And that's one of the reasons why I titled my book Cyber Meltdown. I think now you can see that this is not just some sensational title, but it in fact is a real possibility. If you've got multiple governments around the world who gain Stuxnet capabilities or something similar, then cyber meltdown becomes a very real possibility.
It really does. And there's also some other terms we need to look at, and we will do that. What is a cyber espionage? And a whole bunch of, you know, and then Ron Rhodes actually referenced something that we need to talk about, at least briefly, and we will do that when we come back after bottom of the hour break, and that would be the social networking sites, including Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, there's a dozen of them out there. Are they really safe? I mean, what is a worst-case scenario that could happen? Not saying it will, but what could happen? I mean, some are warning that these outfits are just plain dangerous, can lead to disaster, can lead to criminal acts. Does that mean we should be pulling out of them? Not necessarily, but we need to be careful. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. Just a couple of reminders before we head into that bottom of the hour break that the programming you hear on the weekend is posted to my website on Sunday. That's olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to Radio Archives. We've got several years of programming posted there. And also a reminder that you can get a CD of any hour or 2 hours of the programming that you happen to catch. Give us a call at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Understanding the Times, 2011. It's up and around the corner now. That's October 7th and 8th. Grace Church, Eden Prairie. We'll be featuring Joel Rosenberg, Bill Koenig, Eric Barger, Brandon House. Boy, I'm missing somebody. Dr. Mark Hitchcock, don't want to miss him. And that'll be Friday night and all day Saturday, October 7th and 8th. There's no charge. There's no registration necessary. You might want to get on our print or e-newsletter list. And you can access most of those at the website. Or give us a call. That would be Monday through Friday, 763-559-4444. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to talk to Dr. Ron Rhodes about the issues, as I mentioned, of Facebook, Twitter, and so forth. How safe are they? We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
God is using Understanding the Times to help change lives all over the world. Rebecca writes from Portland, Oregon, "Everyone should hear the inconvenient truth Jan talks about. It enables me to discern the times." This from Peter in Washington State, "When I need a dose of reality that still offers hope, I tune in to Understanding the Times Radio." Jan Markell is committed to discerning the truth and sharing the good news. And while the gospel is free, the means to deliver it is not. Your gift to Understanding the Times is fully tax deductible and helps ensure that we're able to continue to reach people through radio and other media. You can send your gift to P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or call 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Of course, you can always give safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org. Welcome back to Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Glad you could stick with me. I'm going to rejoin my conversation with Dr. Ron Rhodes here in just a second. Reminder, if you want to reach me by mail, do so at Olive Tree Ministries, and that is Box 1452, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. This program, Understanding the Times, is listener supported, and we do appreciate it if you would remember us both prayerfully and financially. Resetting the Stage, I was sent the new book by Dr. Ron Rhodes titled Cyber Meltdown, Bible Prophecy and the Imminent Threat of Cyber Terrorism. Dr. Rhodes heads Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. You can learn more at ronrhodes.org. That's Ron, R-H-O-D-E-S, ronrhodes.org. It's a Harvest House book found at any Christian bookstore, amazon.com, and so forth. And we've spent the first half hour talking about some specific issues in the realm of cyber warfare. Remember, this has been an evolution of warfare going from land to sea to space and now to cyberspace. So, and if you miss any of our programming, it's posted to my website, olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio archives. And Ron, as I went into that bottom of the hour break, I was teasing folks about the fact that their enjoyment of such social networking sites as Facebook and Twitter and MySpace and others, while it may be a whole lot of social fun and a way of communicating and a way of staying in touch with people, and that's how it was originated, particularly Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg simply wanted to stay in touch with his college friends on campus, and now I think there are something like 200 million people a part of Facebook, and it has a dark side. Got a bright side and a dark side. And the issues that are dangerous, they're not just minor. And for one thing, hacking issues are never minor, but we can get into some actual, folks can become victims of criminal attack and worse. And you write about this in the book.
Well, I do. And I write about it on a number of different levels. You know, for example, you might begin with a military level. One of the things that has become a danger in recent days is that some of our soldiers today, in an effort to keep in contact with family members here in the United States, have set up Facebooks and accounts with MySpace and Twitter and so forth. And, you know, it's a great way to stay in contact with each other and send pictures back and forth and all of that. But the problem that we've run into there is that some 60% of the members of our armed forces who have done postings on these social network sites have actually ended up inadvertently posting enough information to make themselves vulnerable to adversary targeting. And it also has been used to facilitate the kidnapping and the ransoming of government officials overseas and in the military, as well as intelligence officers. And so what I'm saying is that, yes, they're fun. The social networks are engaging. They're very popular because it's fun to stay in contact with your friends. But there are devious people and even governments out there who are seeking to use this data to bring you down. Beyond that, Jan, I might point out to you the danger to some of our young people. One of the big issues today has become cyberbullying. And this is the reality that on some of these social network sites, you've got some mean teenagers who say some things about other teenagers. And when they're said in a public way on a public site like Facebook, it can not only cause mental turmoil for those kids, but it can even lead some of the kids to become suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
That has become a reality in our day, which is one of the reasons why parents need to stay involved with what their kids are actually accessing online. Still further, Jan, and I hope I don't sound like I'm on a soapbox preaching here. I can really get into talking about this subject because there's so much relevant stuff here. But let me just say this. There's also the danger of your own personal computer becoming hacked as a result of your activities on Facebook. Now, what am I talking about there? Well, I'm talking about the fact that there are talented hackers who want to penetrate your computer. And one of the ways they do that is they visit your Facebook and they look to see who some of your good friends are. And then they will either do a posting or send you an email saying, hey, check out this set of pictures from our recent vacation. And it'll be signed by one of your friends that they got from Facebook. And then when they click on those pictures, actually what ends up happening is malware downloaded to your computer. And malware is devious software that either damages your computer or it basically logs all of your keyboard strokes. Now, Jan, here's something I want to tell you about. A lot of people who are signed onto Facebook and signed onto the Internet think that their antivirus software is going to keep them safe. And I just want to set people straight on that, if I might. The fact is that our best experts in the world today are telling us that the best antivirus software might catch 30% of what's out there. 30%. Did you know, Jan, that malware, a new piece of malware, enters the Internet every 2.2 seconds? That's 27 pieces of evil software per minute.
Mm.
That's 1,636 pieces of malware per hour. That's over 39,000 per day. And, Jan, no antivirus software company has the capability of coming up with solutions for 39,000 pieces of malware per day.
Okay, then Ron Rhodes, if folks continue to insist on the social networks, they just needed to count the cost then, the potential cost.
Well,
not saying this is going to happen.
Well, what you want to do is, number one, go ahead and go to the settings or the options on the social networks. And what you want to do is increase your privacy settings so that only friends can actually see private information about you. Now, those settings have always been there, but the statistical reality is, and these are statistics based upon polls that have been taken, the statistical reality is that the great majority of people out there have ignored those settings and they just let anybody see what's on their Facebook. It is much safer to privatize your settings so that only people that you accept as a friend will actually be able to see that private data. That's one of the most important things that you can do. And you should also be very suspicious when you receive emails from people saying, take a look at my pictures or check out this new article. The fact is that's one of the number one ways that malware is being introduced to computers. And the fact is, Jan, you won't necessarily know that software is downloaded to your computer. The only thing that you might notice is that your computer runs just a little bit slower than it used to. Now, I probably got the attention of a lot of people out there just now.
Yeah, I think if anybody's on the borderline of am I going to get a computer or not, they just decided they're not.
Well, one computer expert says, what is the safest computer? And this computer expert smiled a little bit, and he said, well, the safest kind of computer is one that is unplugged and in the closet.
On the other hand, Ron, can't live with them or without them either. If you really want to be kept up to date and well informed and understanding the times, I believe it's a little bit difficult to do without a computer.
Well, Jan, that's one of the reasons why I wrote this book.
Mm-hmm.
The average Christian especially doesn't have awareness of a lot of this stuff. But I not only talk about prophecy issues in the book, but I also talk about all the stuff that I just mentioned and steps that you can take to stay safe.
Yeah, exactly. Cyber Meltdown, the Bible Prophecy and the Imminent Threat of Cyber Terrorism is the book again. And somewhere in the book I saw, Ron, that supercomputers now can do. Now, I may blow this number. I'm not sure. If so, correct me. 20,000 trillion calculations per second?
Well, yeah, and you know the relevance of that, right? You know, the fact is that we are heading towards a globalized society.
Yeah.
Even now, there are steps towards globalization, and even now our present government has taken steady steps away from national sovereignty in favor of policies that are globalistic in nature. And in the future, the economy will be controlled by the Antichrist and the false prophet. You know, we are headed towards a one-world economy that will be run by a one-world government. And one of the things that's going to facilitate that and make that possible is what you just mentioned. That is supercomputers.
Yeah.
And these supercomputers were not something that the ancient prophets had any idea, you know, existed. But there's one in particular I'm thinking of, which I think is the one you mentioned. It's called Sequoia, and it can easily do 20,000 trillion calculations per second.
Okay, now I don't even think the human brain can do that. So are we then saying that computer technology has surpassed human potential?
Well, it certainly has surpassed the ability of the human mind in terms of calculations.
Mm-hmm.
But that is precisely what you would need to track billions of people on planet Earth.
Yeah.
and small businesses engaged in commerce and millions of grocery stores around the planet and millions of banks and financial institutions. These supercomputers will facilitate a one-world economy being run by a one-world government, all tied into what we call biometrics, which is technology that can measure your fingerprint or do an iris scan and identify who you are. You know, we're living in a day in which privacy is vanishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the more that our privacy vanishes, the more that it facilitates the possibility of Big Brother watching over us. And one day we're going to have a global Big Brother. In other words, it's going to be a one-world government that will have supercomputer technology that can not only control banking and economics, but also can track every person in the world and where they are.
Right. I want to spend a few minutes on that. And you call the gentleman who will be in charge of this the global CEO. And the Bible would call him the lawless one, the man of sin, the Antichrist, and some other names as well. And to accomplish all this, we have to head into the world of, well, a single currency. Let me just read. This comes out of Joel Kurtzman's book, The Death of Money. And that is what's happening, folks, even as we speak. And we've seen it more in recent weeks as well. When you start talking about national debt and raising the debt limit, those kinds of things, it's all heading eventually. We don't know if it's a week, a month, or 10 years. It's heading towards the death of the dollar for sure. And this Mr. Kurtzman says, for the last 20 years or so, the world and its economy have been in the midst of wrenching change. What has changed? Money. Not the dollars in our pocket or the coins in our hands. That money, tangible money, old-fashioned money, now accounts for only the tiniest fraction of all the money that is in circulation around the world today. It is phantom form from the past, and in its place, traveling the world incessantly without rest and nearly at the speed of light, is an entirely new form of money, based not on metal or paper, but on technology, mathematics, and science. And like Einstein's assumption that a phantom of light creates the universe wherever it goes, this new megabyte money is creating a new and different world wherever it proceeds. And what this gentleman is really talking about, I doubt that he knows it, is some Mark of the Beast technology. We find that outlined in the book of Revelation, those of us who read the book of Revelation. And this global CEO is going to wage a cyber war eventually. We don't know when. I think sooner rather than later. But Ron, you cover this very carefully and very very outstanding way here in the book, Cyber Meltdown. And this is over the horizon, I think.
Well, this is something that I think that that we're actually seeing the stage being set right now.
Yeah,
and
we
are. That paragraph that you just read really kind of lays the groundwork for the point that I now want to make, and that is that we are becoming a cashless society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if real dollar bills were still circulating during the tribulation period, it would be difficult for Satan, you know, through the Antichrist, to enforce a one-world government and a one-world economy. The only way he could really control the economy is if we had a cashless society. Even today, we see many examples of going cashless. You know, if you go on American Airlines, for example,
yeah,
like I do, the flight attendant will tell you that, you know, they got sandwiches for sale, but you can't use cash. American Airlines has gone cashless, they say. And the same is true of other airlines. If you're cruising down the toll road, it's all cashless. You know, you've got an automatic transaction that takes place as you're driving down the road where your credit card gets charged for you driving down that road. Your paycheck is cashlessly deposited into your bank account. I mean, it's happening all over the place. And in fact, the amount of cash being used today in the 2000s is half that was used in the 1970s. Even checks are being read by check scanners that
mm-hmm.
instantly transfer money. And in fact, over 70% of all consumer payments are electronic today, taking place by credit cards or debit cards. And the fact is, we are going cashless, Jan, and that is the thing that's laying the groundwork for the CEO in the tribulation period. I'm talking about the Antichrist, who will control the economy of the world. And, you know, even now, we've got what's called RFID chips.
Yeah, I was going to go there, but that's important, and that's the radio frequency ID type of chips, and how do you think they may play in?
Well, I think that they will definitely play in because basically these chips consist of micro-integrated circuitry that records and processes data as well as an antenna that can receive or transmit a signal. And what that means is that your financial data, your banking data gets stored on that chip, and if you had such a chip implanted in your hand, which is a very small chip, by the way, all you would have to do is wave your hand in front of a processing unit to pay for a bus fare or for a Coke or for some other item in a grocery store. The thing is today is all the talk about implanting RFID chips in cell phones. Seems like everybody has a cell phone today.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it may be just a matter of waving your cell phone right in front of a processor unit in order to pay for your groceries that week. So everything is going electronic. Everything is pointing in that direction. And even those who are in charge of banking today say there are tremendous benefits of going cashless. For example, a cashless society doesn't have any counterfeit money. You can't do it. What about all the germs? Did you know that one of the concerns about from doctors is that dollar bills are reservoirs for flu viruses, and that dollar bills can contain viruses for as long as 17 days before they die? You know, that might sound kind of funny, but that's another reason why people are citing why we ought to go cashless. Or what about tax fraud? There cannot be tax fraud in a cashless society. The point that I'm making is that our best banking experts are saying that there are many, many benefits towards going cashless. We are headed there, and one day we're going to be completely there, thereby setting the stage for the Antichrist controlling the economy in the tribulation.
By the way, Dr. Ron Rhodes was one of our speakers at Understanding the Times 09, and you can get CDs and DVDs of those events going back to 07. You can do that at my website, olivetreeviews.org. Views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to products. And remember, we do have Understanding the Times 2011 around the corner, October 7th, 8th. Grace Church, Eden Prairie, that's a southwest suburb of Minneapolis, and we'll be looking at similar issues again this year. And Ron, you talk in your book about the economics of the last days, and we are in a time right now when economics is just screaming at us from every headline. We have free market capitalism at war with socialism in Western Europe and America. Tragic to see that it's happened here in America in recent years. And two characteristics of our times are outlined in the Bible. And that would be, in other words, two characteristics that are going to face us sooner rather than later: severe inflation, even the likes of what Germany had in the 1920s, and famine. And so we have this economic pattern that's coming into play as we speak. We've been watching Washington sort of almost in gridlock here over these kinds of issues. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that this, too, is setting the stage for the end times.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to continue to experience inflation and famine. It's going to get worse, and I think that people around the world will continue to yearn for somebody who can finally take control and make sense of this world and its problems. The world is yearning for someone to take this financial madness that is on the world and to bring it into a healthy situation. And one day a person will emerge who will lead a global government, and that's going to be the Antichrist. That's interesting, Jan, that when you look at biblical prophecy, don't you think prophecy talks about some of this kind of famine that we're talking about right now? I mean, when you look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse,
right,
for example, we read about various horsemen. And, for example, the second horseman is red, which represents bloodshed and killing with the sword and war. And as you know, when you have war breaking out, that causes transportation disease, including food and medicine and so forth. And so when you get to the third horseman, you've got a rider carrying a pair of scales in his hand, apparently symbolizing famine with subsequent death. The prices for wheat and barley, for example, are said to be extravagantly high, requiring a full day's worth of wages just to buy a few meals. And so even into the tribulation period, we're going to have major famine. That's going to make the world yearn ever more for somebody who can take control to make sense of it all. And, Jan, who would debate the fact that even today in our own country, we've got financial madness?
Well, we do. We've been seeing it. I mean, it has to do with government. And there are many of us who would like to see government grow smaller, but we've got legions of people who want government to grow larger and larger and larger and take over most of society, including health care. And maybe some of these things, I think some of these things are just absolutely over the horizon here, about to happen. But the biggest, I think the biggest issue of our day, Ron Rhodes, is debt, a global debt. In not just in America. In America, it's staggering, the kind of debt we're facing, but even in Europe and other parts of the world, this global debt, this man with a plan, this Mr. Fix-It, is going to have to come along. My hunch is the first thing he's going to say is, I will solve this debt problem. Just leave it to me. I have a plan.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that it's people all over the world who will be yearning for that kind of a person to emerge, because as you know, Jan, our economies are all interconnected and intertwined. For example, when you have something bad happen in the stock market in the United States, that actually affects the economies of all the other countries around the world. If you have the Japanese stock market crash, that's going to affect the stock market in the United States. You see, because of computers and because of how closely intertwined all the banks are today, if something bad happens in one country financially, that's going to affect things in another country. And this is one of the reasons why the whole world is concerned about the U.S. economy, because we've got such a mess here that somebody needs to take charge and to solve the problem. Eventually, that person will be the Antichrist.
Again, Dr. Ron Rhodes, the new book is Cyber Meltdown, Bible Prophecy and the Imminent Threat of Cyber Terrorism. Get that at Amazon.com and any Christian bookstore. It's just coming out in the next week or so. Dr. Rhodes, thank you again. And folks, I do believe this is one of the more important books that you can get a hold of to understand our times, because our times are now electronic, whether you like it or not. That's the way it is. Ron Rhodes, again, thank you. Thank you for being out there on the front line. Stay in touch, won't you?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Eric Barger, my good friend, coming up hour two here on Understanding the Times, and I'll talk to you next week.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries? You could write to Box 1452, that's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, or call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also order and donate securely at olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.